This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's really exciting. You know, my ambitions are to become a Champions League manager as well and, you know, be doing this week in, week out. And, you know, we've got the opportunity tomorrow against, you know, one of the best in the world over the last 10, 15 years. So it's a great challenge. It's an opportunity for my players as well to go again. And, you know, unfortunately, Lukaku came out on top with two goals, but the performance levels were good. What we've got to do now is make sure that, you know, we take the opportunity and try and get a clean sheet against Ronaldo.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me for our traditional pre-weekend catch-up, something for the weekend, Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Not too bad. I think because of the 12:30 kickoff, I don't think we've got time for small talk, so I think we should just cut straight into
just gotta
it.
Just got to roll out of bed and get down to business.
Why, have you just got up?
Nah.
If you are new to the show, this is our extra catch-up show based around Dean Smith's press conference, just to bring us up to speed to the match at the weekend, which is Manchester United. The normal show this week's was 163, episode 163. Is the full experience, so do check that out. First of all, we like to bring everybody up to speed with a Villa Minute. Right then, are you ready, Mr. Bird? I have the stopwatch in my hand.
Yep, let's go.
Go on then.
Oh, unbeaten Everton arrive at Villa Park with Rafa Benitez, yet to lose at Villa Park in 9 attempts. Three at the back continues as Emi Martinez lands back in the country at 2 a.m. and goes straight back into the starting lineup. A tight first half ends goalless as neither side takes the game by the horns. Only a top save from Begovic prevents Mings giving Villa the lead. It's looking 0-0 until Smith decides to trigger the nuclear option. Bailey enters the fray. 21 minutes
Kaboom.
Of chaos ensues as Villa chew up and spit out the toffees. First, the Polish Cafu drives forward and ends a stunning team move with an explosive finish. Then Bailey scores from a corner, but the ref gives it OG. The Holt erupts and then goes crazy when Bailey, after being sublimely released by Ings, smashes in the third. The Jamaican then limps off with a thigh strain, never to be seen again this month. The box office cameo earns him the man of the match. It's deja vu at Stamford Bridge in the League Cup. Villa, for the second time this month, squander multiple first-half chances again and are made to pay as Werner puts the Blues one up. A superb cash cross hits the bullseye as Archer heads in to level the game, ending 1-1. It's penalty time. Ashley Young and Akamba both miss and Villa are out. Villa now travel to Old Trafford where they haven't won since 2009.
Oh yes, I was there for that momentous occasion. The celebration after that game, which went on for a good few
weeks,
good few minutes.
Years?
Yeah, a good few weeks. I only just left Old Trafford last week.
Well done for getting back in time for the Everton game.
Yeah. Was it how many years of celebrating? About 12 years, wasn't it?
Too many.
Yeah, we're due a win there. Wasn't happy with the Bailey situation. But let's get on to that now. Let's do our injuries in order, shall we? Morgan Sanson made a reasonably good start.
Yeah, did well.
easing into the game, and we're thinking, oh, good, finally, and off he goes.
Yeah, a little hamstring twinge, wasn't it, apparently? So it's not a big one, but it'll set him back a little bit.
He looked pretty distraught with it, and you can appreciate that as well, considering it's been a bit of a layoff. I mean, we were talking behind closed doors. You said in Match Club, didn't you, that this is a career-defining game for
I didn't say is, I said it could be.
Because you just winding
because,
you up.
Yeah, because I just thought you looked at it, and especially with the kids coming through and the signings we've made, you just think, well, when's he necessarily going to get another chance to start?
Yeah, and I think I said in that conversation that this might be a matter of some niggly injury that just still hasn't gone away. It would explain why, you know, he had 45 minutes against Wickham and in the last international break, and then we never really saw him. I thought they would have put on another game for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed a bit, you know, a bit curious, and then a bit of a bummer, that one. You know, if he stayed on, who knows, the result might have been different. He might have had another chance to get another game in the next round, and there's a more competitive path to rehabilitation for him. But he's going to have to start from ground zero again. But Bailey's is more of the kick in the pants, because I don't know. It's like we sold a player that missed a third of the season last year and a third of the season for four of the last five. And then we decided to spend 30 odd million on a player that has so far has played less than the games we've had, which is a big shame at the moment.
Especially when you see his little cameos. They're brilliant.
Yeah, and it's like we're going one arm behind our back, aren't we? Against Everton, with that rally and the 3-0, you thought, right, we're starting. Finally, we're starting. We've got our players back. You know, the likes of even Sanson are on the way back as well. So here we go, you know, buckle in for the ride. And now it's the usual. One of the catchphrases at Villa is fast becoming, they should be back after the international break, or he should be back after the international break. Dean Smith needs to get that on the T-shirt. And then when somebody asks him, you know, the progress of a player, he just has to point to it.
Refer to T-shirt.
So a big shame about that. We don't need to speak about Everton. We covered that in the main show.
It's good that McGinn's back, though, obviously, for United after his concussion.
Yeah, no, that's a plus point. Anything else injury-wise?
Well, obviously, Axel Tuanzebe won't play against Manu, obviously against his parent club, and he's obviously been pretty good since coming into the side, so that'll be a bit of a loss. But Courtney Hawes did pretty well at Chelsea in the Cup, to be fair, I thought so. You'd imagine he'll slot in.
He probably will go three at the back, but I don't know this. When you have three in the back, I don't know if that will help, because they tend to spread out. Does that create room for like Ronaldo, who's
runners from deep, etc.?
Well, he's kind of playing off the shoulder and finding gaps, and he knows where he's, you know, he knows what to do. He's got it, you know, his new role now because of his age is just to be that fox in the box. And I fear for that formation against him potentially, unless they play a bit tighter or just kind of put one on him, you know, one of the three on him.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, my view would be I'd personally flood the midfield as opposed to play three at the back. I'd actually rather if Tuanzebe can't play, I'd rather you put Nakamba in front of the back four.
Yeah, definitely, because that's their main strength.
They'll just play through you otherwise. We've seen that in the last few times we've played against them, especially at Villa Park, unfortunately.
It's kind of dragging you about to create that space, and then, you know, that's how Ronaldo has been popping up. You know, it's not as if they're playing a ball over the top and he's breaking through the lines. That's not his game, is it? I also think
if we're playing with our front three, you can still play Watkins with Ings. You play Ings down the middle, Watkins out wide, knowing you're going to get work rate from him. You know, you might not get necessarily all the attacking threat, but he will be able to slot in and just chase. He'll have to do a lot of running. Probably someone like Traore on the other side is going to have to do the same.
Yeah. Can you see Buendia coming in against United?
I can, but I don't know if he will, because Ramsey's been doing quite well.
Yeah, and he kind of likes Ramsey too for the running around. But
yeah,
then Buendia's got a decent press, you know, higher up. So that will be interesting.
It'll depend on the formation as well.
Yeah. Just going, we went from injuries, we just kind of skipped over that League Cup. Just a quick word on that League Cup game. I mean, it's bittersweet, really, because before the game, you looked at that Villa's bench and you thought, hang on a minute, you know, they're not bothered about winning this, are they? Because normally the formula is, you know, you obviously, if you want to rest players because of fatigue or whatever, which seems to be the excuse managers use for not taking the cup seriously anymore, you put, you know, two or three heavy hitters on the bench, just you know, if the game pans out and it's suddenly, actually, we could win this, then you've got some cavalry or insurance policy, whatever term you want to use.
Yep.
You looked over to the Chelsea bench, an old Tuchel before the game was saying, yeah, I think Villa, you know, they might want to win this tournament or try to win it. So, they might go strong. And he's playing Kidology because you look at his bench and, you know, they're going for the title this season.
Well, they're fighting on four fronts.
No doubt about that. And they're also Champions League. They're going to try to retain it. So they would throw the League Cup aside in a heartbeat. But that's not his mentality. He's got winning mentality and he makes sure there's enough on that bench to try to win it. Because there's no way, if they weren't bothered about winning that game, and you saw, you know, Tuchel, his, you know, his reaction, his physicality throughout the game, he was really up for it, wasn't he?
Especially at the start of the second half, you could tell in the first half he was frustrated because Villa were the better side.
Yeah, so that being said, that was going into the game. You just thought, yeah, I wouldn't mind Ings on the bench. I wouldn't mind. And the way it played out, we were very impressive. And, you know, the young guys, Archer was unfortunate. Archer's very cool and some of his finishing was, while he didn't hit the target, it was still composed. I mean, you've got to give credit to their keeper for being in his face on one of them. But it was just like, we've got ourselves in a position here. And when we went 1-0 down, you were thinking, this is how it ends, isn't it? Chelsea now just put the sword through us. But we fought back. Great goal by Archer. And then you're thinking, that's when I was thinking, well, if we came with some cavalry on the bench, we might be able to have nicked it or actually had, instead of the likes of Nakamba taking penalties, you got Ings taking penalties.
Yeah, Ings and Watkins, you both sort of fancy. And just a shame to go out with, you know, after such a good performance, but you just feel like you've, you know, sometimes you'll lose, but you think actually we could have given a bit more. You felt Villa maybe had another gear, they could have tried to go in there if they'd have been a bit braver with the selection.
Yeah, it's more attitude, isn't it? You know, attitude from the players was first rate and they played above and beyond, but it was just management. Because you saw the other manager who had so much more, many more excuses to rest players and just give up on that cup. But there's a reason why Manchester City and Chelsea still win these cups, even though their eyes are on bigger prizes. I mean, Manchester City win the League Cup all the time because they know what they have to do to get through it. It's no secret most teams play Mickey Mouse teams. That's how we got into the final. You know, a couple of years ago was we were putting out our B team, but the other teams were putting out their under-12s. And then we got to the semi, and then it's like, right, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, you know how it's going to roll out. And so if suddenly our B team, which, our squad's getting stronger, we're in a position where potentially we can do well in these cups by putting out what we did, but still having a couple of insurance policies on the bench. And that gives you enough to rotate and rest players, but also have an eye on the prize. And that's a shame because, because come March, we're going to be sitting there on social media looking at the club celebrating the anniversary of 94 and 96. But when it comes to the reality of trying to win that fucking trophy in the present, they're not arsed. And that's what pisses me off the most.
Bearing in mind, we can't play the whole fixture backlog bollocks because we're not in Europe. I understand teams that have, who are playing Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday, etc. every week. When have we got our next midweek round? These guys need the games. You could have very easily played your full-strength side. And if Smith had said, I want to play a full-strength side because actually I haven't had my full-strength side virtually all season and we need to bed the system in or the players in, most people would have gone, okay, yeah, fair enough, I get that.
Yeah.
And if you get an injury, that's one of those things that happens, but you've got to be in it to win it, and you can't just dip your toe in the water against good sides. Now you might get away with it against, a championship side or a very average premiership side, but you aren't going to go to Chelsea and sort of, you've got to go all in. And that was a game we could have gone all in and won.
We'd have to play our first team.
I don't see any reason why you don't, though. We aren't, we have no fixture backlog.
I mean, that's what Tuchel alluded to, but I'm saying at the very least, because people are, they're going to come at you with arguments. Oh yeah, but it's valuable game time for the fringe players and getting up
speed.
I totally
get that.
And I agree with that. But all I'm saying minimum is just have some heavier hitters on the bench, because if you find a game that, most people are going, oh, it's Chelsea, we'll get beat. But if you find yourself 1-1, 10 minutes to go or whatever it is, and you can bring on Ings and you can bring on other, Watkins, then I would rather be in that position than the position we were in, where you think, shit, we're going into the latter stages of this game and penalties, and I think we've given all that we can give here.
Mm-hmm.
People say our penalties is a lottery. Well, it depends who you've got taking them.
You look at their penalty takers and you thought, well, obviously they're going to win.
But we roll on. But, you know, let's not be duped here, because in the pre-match press conferences, they're always talking about the Villa's rich tradition in this competition. And then you see the lineup and you go, oh, yeah, really trying to win it again, aren't you, lads? Or management, should I say. The cup, you might as well just scrap it.
The same applies. I saw Everton fans moaning that, you know, they went to QPR with a vastly changed side. It's like, well, we haven't won a trophy since 95. There's a few clubs in a similar boat. You think,
oh yeah, all clubs. I'm not talking about Villa.
Yeah, this isn't just a Villa issue, is it?
No. Do what Chelsea wanted to win that game. Ultimately, that's why they said, right, if these guys can't do the job, then we'll bring on the men that we pretty much guaranteed. And by the way, Villa dealt very well with Lukaku
in the game. Hors had a really good game against him.
Anyway, we're dragging on that. But yeah, it's like a waste of a good performance is what I'm saying. We didn't give our chance to capitalise on a good performance.
Yeah.
But hey-ho.
We'll need another one at Old Trafford.
Yeah, it's all right having good performances, but if you don't win, you need to win games. And ultimately, that's how you get rewarded and that's how you're remembered. So there's got to be a bit of a little edge I want to see from Smith to have the nous, because you saw why Tuchel, why he's a successful manager there, because in that game, the way they approached it, of course, they got a decent, deep squad. But if they didn't fill their bench with heavy hitters, Villa win that game. And he didn't have to. I mean, you remember Arsene Wenger would just put out the under-11s, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Man U did for a while, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, I mean, they just completely dismissed it. But Villa needs... There's a formula there for them to get through the rounds. So they've now got a squad where it's deep enough to beat a lot of other team's second strings. So all you have to do is put a couple of insurance policies on the bench, just so you have a option to throw in the cavalry, and I think you'll go a bit deeper in the competition. And anyway,
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news, ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Enough of that. Anything else in terms of United? I mean, the United preview vibe is always the same, isn't it? One win in the last 19, losing 14 of those. It's, you know, it's doom, gloom, and it's the same old story. Problem is, we now have thrown into the mix a player who, along with being one of the top two in the world, his Premier League record, he scored the most goals in terms of a single team, most goals against Aston Villa, and he's returned, and it's Cristiano Ronaldo.
And has never lost to us.
No, I think 10% of all his Premier League goals have been against Villa. So in 14 games, he's won 13 and scored 9. Now, we all know about Manchester United and their penalties against Villa. And, you know, we know the script in recent terms. Villa, very promising, playing very well. But you're just waiting until United get that penalty.
Yeah.
You know, if we go 1-0 up, they're going to get a penalty. And old Solskjaer was cheeky enough to say, oh, with Ronaldo, we're not going to get a penalty, are we? Or infer that. And of course,
we know what happens now.
Yeah, and Mike Dean's the referee as well.
Yeah, Man U, you've been awarded 32 penalties since Ole's been at Old Trafford, which is great considering Villa have committed the most fouls in the last two seasons. So.
And, you know, the bookies are even giving odds for United to get penalties. 11-4 is one of their,
which is ridiculous,
one of them. Yeah, but yeah, I was there for Gabby's headed goal 2009, and that shouldn't be a I was there moment, really.
No.
That's how bad it is.
Well, that's the only defeat in Man U's last 34 games. That's ridiculous.
Against Villa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is that's tragic. How can that be? I mean, I blame Alex Ferguson. Going back to the that cup, not having that extra winning edge, that's what we need to beat these United fucks.
Yeah, You're into the realms of by any means necessary, aren't you?
Yeah, and we're talking voodoo, witchcraft, whatever it takes.
Weeing on the goalpost. Oh, that was witchcraft, wasn't it?
We have to bring Elphick back to headbutt the post as well before the game. Key stats. I mean,
it's a belter, that, isn't it?
Manchester United have beaten Villa in the Premier League on every single day of the week. And every month of the year, on every single day of the week, in every month of the year, probably.
Yeah.
In every animal sign, ox, year of the dog, year of the tiger, they've done them all. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is Premier League as well. We're talking 1992. Yeah. I don't know. They should bring out another day for the week. Let's turn it to 8 just so Manchester United have got some fresh...
Fergie time. give them an extra day to beat us. Yeah, great.
just to give Manchester United some incentive to play us now that they've literally decimated us. I mean, we have to hope that we play them in the odd final every 30-odd, 40 years and beat them in that just to
ruin their treble or something.
I mean, that's why 94 was so important, and because, you know, the only thing we had on them was the 1957 FA Cup.
Yeah.
And that was too far gone. Well, we look forward to that game. That's going to be a great game. We could go into some details, but I think the Bailey option, I'd have liked to have seen him, because you just need you need everything. You need all your nuclear options. You need full weapon case. And so it would have been good to have him, even though I don't know if he guaranteed starts. It depends how, you said flood the midfield, which suggests we could go, you know, 4 at the back. I think he'll go, he'll play the system he's played with the centre backs. Whether that will work or not, I don't know. So that would suggest that Bailey might not have started anyway.
I don't think he would have anyway, to be honest.
No, but the thing is, it's a system that's got us high up the pitch. And although saying that, you know, against Chelsea, we had, I think it was 38% possession. But that doesn't really mean that much, because we're actually having constructive possession. When we have the ball, we're actually doing something with it. So
yeah.
If we play in a similar way as we did against Chelsea in the league game against United, then we've got a chance. It's literally just taking chances, isn't it, to give yourself a foothold in the game.
Yeah, you just hope the whole, you know, not being clinical in front of goal doesn't become too much of a theme through the season.
Yeah, and just not making mistakes. The game against Chelsea, the defensive mistakes, a lot of it was, you could argue, if you wanted to mitigate, that it was the first time we used that system. So there is a little bit of getting used to it. And, you know, it was true in some of the positioning of, you know, Konsa to Nzebi and Mings at times. Well, and Target as well. Sometimes the fullbacks didn't actually come back quick enough. So hopefully the adjustments have been made. So we'll be a bit of a tougher nut to crack against United. But, you know, it's an intriguing game. So I look forward to it. But I do look forward to it more with the Bailey bounce still in full effect. Right, let's end with a burning question. Vicky from Match Club says, would you bring El Ghazi off the bench to take a penalty?
Yes.
Against who? United? Is this?
Do you think this is just anyone?
Depends on the circumstance. I mean, luckily he was there for the Chelsea penalty shootout, but he doesn't miss. So let's say 0-0 against United, last 5 minutes, we get a penalty. El Ghazi comes on. The amount of pressure you're piling on him in front of a packed Old Trafford. And
I think he'd love that though, wouldn't he?
Well, but then it's like his ability is suddenly got external pressures that make it more of a risk, if you know what I mean. If he's a 9 out of 10 for penalties, bringing him on and putting all that pressure on him, like, it's literally putting a spotlight on him in front of a massive crowd, Old Trafford, which is cursed for all Villa players that set foot on it, is like he's suddenly a 7 out of 10, if you know what I mean, for that penalty, because there's just too much things. Where if Ings just pops up, he's, you know, it's almost like business as usual, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So probably in that context, no, but definitely if you're going into a penalty shootout and if he's not on the pitch, you bring him on with, you know, 10, 5 minutes to go, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't matter if he's not in the game or not, it's that technically he knows what he's doing penalty-wise. Mateos, I think from Match Club as well, will Morgan Sanson have a role to play in this team anytime soon without injuries to key players?
He's going to have to work his way in off the bench and then make an impact in games, I think.
Well, he's injured, he's fucked.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to start games, is he? Even if he's fit.
I don't think he's going to be starting this year, is he?
No.
So That one was all about getting through that Chelsea game in terms of appearing anytime soon. So this is the thing. Where does he get his game time?
And where does he sit in the pecking order compared to someone like Chuck Mueka or some of these younger lads?
I think he's above them if he's fully fit and he's performing, just because... Mm-hmm. When you've spent money on, there is that kind of pressure to actually play and get some return from that money. Mm-hmm. But we'll see with him. But that's one for later. And I mean, that's the shame. It's just, we were going into this week, potentially.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On a real high after what Bailey did against Everton, and you got Morgan Sanson starting doing well, and then suddenly it's all turned around, you know, with this latest injury news. All right, thank you very much for listening. Do follow the show on Twitter at @MyOldManSaid. On Twitter, it's different from the main address. Also, make sure you follow the show on whatever podcast app you are listening to, so you get notifications. And we'll do the shout-outs for the new members of My Old Man Said patrons, but do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link to get more details on joining us in Match Club, where we will be for the United game, and also to get access to extra podcasts on the extra channel when they drop. Right, until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.